Welcome to the SFDC Consultant Podcast, the podcast where we have open discussions with Salesforce consultants, administrators, and architects. My name is Emmerich, and today I have a special episode for you. I'm speaking with Matt Patterson, Managing Consultant at Blue Cloud Recruitment. We spoke about the good and the bad recruitment practices, the movement of the Salesforce market, and also the best way to engage with recruiters. Additionally, if you find this episode interesting, I would really appreciate if you could share this episode with your peers, subscribe to the podcast, and leave us a review.
My name is Matt Patterson. I am Managing Consultant of Blue Cloud Recruitment, a niche Salesforce recruitment agency set up 2 years ago. And we are exclusively working in the ecosystem, helping talented people find new and exciting roles within that market. That's all we do. So we are pretty well placed to help, advise, mentor, guide people throughout their journey within Salesforce. We are 10 strong in the consultancy. We are based in South Manchester, which is rare. And we work predominantly throughout the UK, right the way sort of from the South Coast through the partner network, largely based in London, right the way up to sort of Aberdeen, Scotland. So numbers of clients, number of successful hires, and we are excited and looking forward to sort of Salesforce and seeing how it evolves in the next sort of 5 to 10 years.
First thing that I want to start with, and this may be hopefully not a controversial, you know, subject, but what is it from your point of view? What is the job and responsibility of a Salesforce recruiter? If we boil it down to the basics in terms of person supports another person to, you know, place it into a job, would you potentially quote unquote classify the candidate as a partner and then the company that you're placing them as a client? Because you have a few moving parts there.
I guess from my perspective, it's not just a Salesforce recruiter per se. It's the job of a recruitment consultant in any industry to make sure that they offer a high level of service for both candidate and client. I guess a recruiter is quite duplicitous in that they are the pivot between the two parties. And I think with particular reference to sort of Salesforce, it's to become, and this is why we are a specialist agency in terms of niche, is to understand the market in its entirety, understand Salesforce and its various different platforms, different technologies, different attributes from both client and candidate perspective. So I think in terms of our engagement with candidates, it's to be an advisor, a mentor to a degree with some of the more less experienced candidates, but also a sounding block and a foil to properly advise them as to whether the move they're considering is potentially helpful to their career, beneficial to them in terms of moving forward and progressing in terms of what their aspirations are, but really then truly match that aspiration of the candidate to the client's request for certain criteria. So from a client perspective, our job as a recruitment agency is to understand their brief, what they're looking for, to advise us to whether we think that individual is out there, but also to tell them honestly if we think what they're asking for is probably not achievable. And it's to really make sure that we match those two aspirations and wish lists, if you like, to the best of our ability for the result of both. We're not looking, certainly good recruiters are not looking to shoehorn in people into jobs just for the sake of it. I think we've touched on it before that there are previous practices in recruitment, certainly when I was cutting my teeth sort of 10, 15 years ago, that did become the rationale of some recruiters just to hit a target and a number, but it's not sustainable. And I think this ecosystem within Salesforce, and particularly this ecosystem and its attributes, lend itself to a really substantial relationship building exercise in terms of what we're trying to do. So I think what we're looking to do is build long-term relationships with both clients and candidates. And I think pushing back into the clients and candidates, what they should be looking for, they should also be looking for a good relationship with a recruiter and see them as almost their go-to advisor in terms of career path. That's, I think, what we offer in terms of niche specialisms in Salesforce.
Makes sense. The whole relationship building is the same thing as you have your go-to plumber or something like that.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same way you have a go-to recruiter when it comes to your career.
Well, I think it's right. Sorry, that's an interesting point you made. But yeah, if you are in terms of the contract market, right? So there's a lot of contractors out there will have accountants because they need specialist advice when it comes to accountancy. The same is true as a recruitment consultant. If you find someone that you trust, respect, and actually they've helped you and they show an interest in terms of you, it should become this mutual beneficial relationship from time to time. And that's not exclusive in terms of contractors. Permanent people should also seek that relationship out. The same as how we try to build that specialist sort of advisor role to our clients. It's also true of candidates, both in perm and contract. Very rarely nowadays do you see people staying in roles for 10, 15 years. Every sort of 3-4 years, people fancy a move, either because there's a ceiling within their current organization and they need to move on in order to progress. Then why wouldn't they go back to the same person they trusted 3 years ago? And that's, I think that's, you've hit the nail on the head. Once you find that professional who can advise and be there for the long term, and stick with them.
The other thing I wanted to touch upon, because I think there's no secret around the fact that the majority of the jobs are somehow conglomerated in the London area or like some of the biggest cities, etc. So what would you advise for new people starting in the industry in terms of potentially reaching out? Would that be something that you would encourage people just starting out? They're doing a bunch of trailhead badges. They're potentially trying to get some certifications under their belt, all of that. Would that be a good time to just engage with the recruiter, just to understand that piece of advice of saying, well, actually, you may not be able to find a job in this area. You may need to either move or consider other options. Is that something that you encourage?
Yeah, actively, actually. Obviously, we are entered the market a couple of years ago with a view to, obviously, the forecasted growth within Salesforce, and the numbers are pretty astronomical in terms of 4.2 million jobs across the globe by 2024 or whatever the statistic was at the time. And so clearly there is a growing ecosystem of roles in that. But I think people do need some guidance out there as to how to shape that journey. And I think the earlier you can get more advice from people that are in that ecosystem in order to guide that, because it's quite vast in terms of where you could go. Do you want to be an architect? Do you want to be a consultant? Do you want to be a developer? What journey do you want to take? So I'd always advise people, initially do what you like doing and do what you love, and then follow your heart in terms of, am I going to enjoy what I'm doing? Because you work for a long time. So you've got to enjoy it. But in terms of trailhead, definitely advise people finding certain trails or doing certain badges on trailhead in terms of, well, just sort of, it's an easy way to see what Salesforce is really about. And then around certifications, we advise people to just don't take certifications as a be all and end all to get into the market, because it's not necessary. But the reality is that a lot of junior people that are entering into the ecosystem will probably find themselves as, I don't know, sort of what's very accidental admins, really, in terms of they've probably ended up an end user. They're probably a little bit technically minded, or like the data side or data entry, or probably look after the CRM, probably find themselves in there. And then once they're looking after perhaps a Salesforce platform or a smaller CRM, get hooked. And then really want to sort of progress. And I think at that point in time, when you've set your sights on a Salesforce career in the ecosystem, reach out to a specialist agency, and good recruiters will be honest with you, will advise you what's going on in the market. Right now, obviously, we're recording sort of just coming out of a pandemic, so jobs are tight. There's not a lot of people hiring, although we're certainly starting to see sort of green shoots, if you like. And I think what we'd advise is just speak to as many people in the ecosystem. But I think this Salesforce world is really unique in that there are a lot of outside of employment community groups. So the communities on Trailhead, on the communities page, and certainly the user meetup groups, albeit virtual at the moment, are really useful platforms for networking. I'd advise people to speak to as many Salesforce professionals as possible just to build up knowledge. And I think that's probably the best route to go.
Yeah. The other thing I wanted to touch upon when it comes to new starters, because I think based on Salesforce's efforts with Trailhead and with their entire campaign around getting new people in, at one point in time, there will probably be, you'll see sparkles of newcomers coming into the system. Again, it's a presumption on my side, but I wanted to touch upon, what is it that you are looking whenever you're looking at a CV? If we take away the three main categories, which are probably the experience, certifications, and potentially even Trailhead values and badges that you have there, what else is there that is absolutely a must, or not a must, but something that should be encouraged? Are things like degrees important at all? Or is there something else that is probably just slightly more beneficial to have there? What is it that you're seeing around that?
Yeah, the thing about CVs is that you can read them in one way or you can read through them. We always encourage people to read through a CV. So to see what is written in tangible language behind it. So what I mean by that is, actually, does that person demonstrate behaviors and capabilities that isn't black and white? So has someone shown you the ability in terms of where they've come from and where they are now, but more importantly, where they want to go, the ability to self-develop, the ability to self-learn? So have they come from traditionally what you would think might not be a technology town, and have they found themselves in central London in an end user and then progressed into perhaps a junior partner, and now I'll be looking for that next step up to platinum partner or perhaps even a GSI in that sense? So has the individual demonstrated on the CV, and it is only a prompt, the CV, to engage in a conversation, but I think so in terms of the question really, how I would advise people to do on a CV is probably show the journey that they've been on. Admittedly, it's useful in a senior development application to detail what types of development you've done. But I suppose from more a junior point of view, how do you convey that desire, hunger, in order to learn? A lot of the businesses that we're speaking to right now, and it goes hand in hand with the Salesforce mentality, is right, how do I learn? How do I present myself, and what is my behaviors around self-promotion and self-learn? And not a lot of people want to have an employee that has to be handheld all the way. So I think in terms of what people can do on a CV is show that real hunger to progress yourself forward. So that might be started off at smaller employee, bigger numbers. So I was admining an org for 100 people, then the next stage it was 500 people. Detailed progression in the CV, that's always interesting, because if you can detail that progression and move forward, then obviously that has behind it a lot of learning and self-development and self-improvement. I think that's one of the key behaviors that people are looking for right now, is has the employee or has that potential candidate really shown a real hunger to move forward? And I think degrees are interesting, but certainly not necessary. You know, it's not something. We have a few clients that have perhaps a computer MA or BA as a prerequisite, but that's often driven by investors requiring a certain skill level from their employees, and they have it as almost a mandatory as an HR function. But when you actually speak to the development lead or the tech lead, they're not really interested in that. They're interested in, right, what are the projects they've done? What have they learned? What have they, you know, brought to their project team? What were the most recent projects? What sectors were they involved in? So that's really what we're looking for, I guess, to sum that up, is self-progression, self-learning, and a desire to improve.
The other thing I wanted to switch to it, it's probably to just take the dark side of recruitment and all of that. And I would really wouldn't really make justice if, in case we don't touch upon that. But I would want to hear your thoughts on some of the bad practices which are happening intentionally or non-intentionally that candidates should potentially be aware of. And again, from my experience, I've been at an interview where the job was pitched as a full remote position. So I'm excited doing this interview with someone from San Francisco. And then the guy says, well, let me just explain to you what the job is, because I'm not exactly sure what the recruiter told you. And whenever he explained it, it wasn't like 100% different, but they were different things. I mean, these guys were looking for literally a different type of person. And secondly, the job was not really remote. They would give you an option to do 2 days remote, like in Birmingham or something like that. So that's what I'm saying. Those type of experiences. And what would be your advice for people? The whole thing about, if it's too good to be true, then it probably is.
If it's too good to be true, it definitely is. I'd agree with that. I think it goes back to actually the behaviours of the recruiter. I think there are a lot of recruiters out there that do a recruitment by numbers. And that's born out of very old school practices, which comes from back in late 80s when recruitment, and I'm not that old by the way, but when recruitment stopped becoming an HR function and became a sales business. So there was a big shift, and it was around, and this is not to their detriment, when computer futures really took hold. They shifted their mentality and adopted a sales tactic approach to recruitment. And largely that worked. And there's still an element of sales in all recruitment, because you are essentially pitching a job to a person. What the difference is in quality recruitment is that pitch is honest. So when you were referencing your experience there, when the recruiter was telling you it was 100% remote, that wasn't honest. So I think it's about the culture and behaviours of the recruitment business that the recruiter is working for, and that has to be systemic behaviour. So we will only tell our consultants to trust is the number one key value of Salesforce, right? So it's also ours. So when we are engaging with a candidate, they have to trust what we say and is true. And they will only do that if, when they turn up to the interview, everything we say is apparent, because the person that's interviewing them says exactly the same thing. So you'll only find that out at the point of interview, but hopefully that will actually cause some truth and honesty in terms of the recruiter. So I think it's about the culture and behavior of the interaction and the initial pitch from the recruiter to the potential candidate. So I would advise candidates to ask the questions that aren't black and white. So don't just ask, obviously you need to know information about basic salary, working hours, job spec. Ask deeper questions that test the knowledge of the recruiter of that client. So ask about culture and behaviors. So what is it like for an employee to walk into, that client day one? What does it feel like? Ask the recruiter, have you ever been to their offices? What did it feel like when you walked into their offices? Because that will give you an understanding of whether that recruiter has literally just had a 10-minute phone conversation with a potential client, doesn't really understand them. Ask deeper questions. Say, well, how many people have you placed in the business? And if they're stumbling at that point, a good recruiter might say, well, actually, honestly, this is the first interview I've had with this client. I've built a relationship over 2-3 meetings. I've met with them once. That's fine, because it's honest and you can actually gauge that the recruiter is being honest with you at that point, and then you're all on the same footing. So I think it's about, and ask them to talk in detail at length. Who are they meeting? What does, that interviewer like? A good recruiter should understand what the interviewer is looking for and be able to prepare you in not to pretend or lie or pander to the interviewer's technique, but certainly just to give you an understanding of what they might be looking for, so you can highlight truths on your CV that will put you in a better position. And I think a lot goes down to preparation. So a good recruiter should spend initially before even pitching you a job, an hour on the phone with you, potentially, finding out what your aspirations are, what your needs are, what you're looking for in the next role. Because actually, what's more important than the role is what you might be looking for in the next role. So trust a recruiter that says to you, this role isn't for you. Because actually what they're saying is, I understand what you want. This doesn't give you that. That should tell you a lot about the integrity and the honesty of that recruiter, because fundamentally a recruiter is targeted at doing deals and making placements. But if they're prepared to forgo that instance because it isn't right, then that says a lot about that person's integrity. So I think finding out about the culture and behavior of the business, the questions that you can't, that aren't seen in black and white. So yeah, it's important about salary, job title, job description, but culture and behaviors of the business. Has that recruiter spent a lot of time on the telephone with you over Zoom or whatever method you use? And have they even got taken in ordinary circumstances the time to go and meet with you, have a coffee, find out about more about you as a person, what your likes are, what your hobbies are, what your family's like, what your family situation is like? That sort of thing's important. And I think it's just, have they taken the time, because recruitment is a time pressurized business, but have they taken the time to build that relationship with you? And if they have, you can probably trust them.
To whoever is looking for a recruiter, in case you are able to build that relationship, even my advice from a non-professional in that area, I would say we probably have a good fit at the point that someone is targeted to sell, but is going against that in order to quote unquote save you from a situation. I think that makes sense. Matt, what I was going to say is thank you for your time and thank you for the tips and advices that you've proposed. Anything else from your side that you want to do? Some closing statements? Where could people reach out to you and find out more in terms of what you're doing?
They can check the website, which is www.bluecloudrecruitment.com. Feel free to get in touch there. We obviously have LinkedIn, so we're on there. Look out for our posts regularly. And just feel free to, you know, contact me. My contact numbers are all over the socials. So I will let you details around Twitter, etc. But yeah, I think just do push your recruitment people hard that you speak to. Don't give them an easy time. They've been pushed by their bosses. And I think good relationship should be robust. But I think ultimately, if you are keen to progress in the ecosystem, find a good recruiter, trust them, and just go back to them. I think the worst thing that people can do is just not come back to anybody in any situation. I think recruitment people are really guilty of that, but I think it works both ways as well.
Thank you for listening to the SFDC Consultant podcast. Be sure to visit sfdcconsultant.com to access the show notes and discover additional content. If you enjoyed the podcast, it would be amazing if you could subscribe, give us a review, and share it with your peers. Until next time, take care.